Boarding the Ship with and TheValleyChick.com. It's the Ghost Show coming at you on a Wednesday night, September 5th, 2012. Coming off the heels of LSU's 41-14 victory over North Texas. The Ghost Show guys are here to discuss that in full earnest tonight. It's a two-man show tonight. It's myself, Kerry Muntz, in the saddle. We got Poza out in Dallas.
How's it going?
Keeping one ear on the Baltimore Orioles and the rest of it on this show tonight. What's up, Poza?
Doing pretty well. O's are now starting to get killed. It's 6-2, so I know you don't care, but I do.
If it affects the Yankees, I care. If it affects the Yankees in a bad way, I care. I am a de facto Orioles fan.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So. But I will give this my full attention. I am in here for LSU football. That is still primary love.
Good enough. All right. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always, you can email the show, ghostshow@gmail.com. I kind of had a little brain fart there. I'm sorry. You can go to the website. We are at www.andthevalleyshook.com, andthevalleyshook.com. And also you can go to Facebook and like us on that show, like us on Facebook as well. Just search The Ghost Show and like The Ghost Show there. You can listen to our old podcast by going to andthevalleyshook.com and scrolling down. I believe it's on the left-hand side. Just find The Ghost Show link icon, PodTrack player. You can listen to all those shows, all the old things like that. We also tweet at it's at The Valley Shook, right? Podcast is our Twitter. Is our Twitter handle for the site?
It's just at Valley Shook.
At Valley Shook. At Valley Shook. There's no .com in Twitter. I'm sorry. So yes, we are. As Vince Scully likes to put it, a bunch of twits. So let's kick things right off. We are. We will be welcoming in due time Anthony Cassino from. He is going to be our spokesman for Washington tonight because. Self-admittedly, I know not a whole lot about Washington, and I don't think Poza does either. So we're going to really rely heavily on Anthony when we bring him in to talk Washington Husky football. He is from uwdogpound.com, uwdawgpound.com. So we'll bring him in on after me and Poza break down what was LSU versus North Texas. Nothing really too much to talk about with this game, Poza. It's you're running the mill average, opening up against a pansy football team for LSU. We don't run up the score too much. We came out. You know, I thought pretty well. We didn't look too flat starting out. We scored quickly. Some of the questions we had going into the game, such as punt returner, were answered very quickly. Odell Beckham Jr. brings back two punts. One of them called back by a penalty. And then brings back the next one for a touchdown right after that, all in the first quarter. So, nothing fancy. Ground game was spectacular. 340 yards rushing on 40 some odd carries. Mettenberger, who everybody was real anxious to see, kind of inauspicious start, was mediocre. Everything was a bunch of short passes. I mean, I think he got kind of lazy on an interception, maybe tried to force it and was trying to anxious to throw that first touchdown pass as a starting quarterback and just kind of got lazy and threw off his back foot and that ball got picked off. But all in all, it's say what you want about it. I mean, it's one of those games where it's kind of, you can't really put, you know, it's hard to really kind of get a grasp on this football team just from that game.
It was a scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a scrimmage that people were allowed to watch and, it kind of showed. LSU came out. They went out to a 21-0 lead real early in the second quarter. It could have been 28-0 had the first punt return not been called back by penalty. And then from that point on, the team just kind of lost interest. The crowd lost interest. It was the half-empty stadium by halftime. There was about 10 people left in the crowd when Mettenberger threw his first touchdown pass as an LSU Tiger. It was the only thing good about the game was, yay, football is back. But it's really hard to draw any conclusions off that game. If LSU was playing to score as many points as they could have, they wouldn't have thrown a pass all game. North Texas could do nothing to stop LSU's run game. Two running backs go for over 100 yards. The run game looks dominant. The passing game, I think you're a little bit harsh on Mettenberger. I think what looked poor was not so much Mettenberger, who wasn't great, but he was pretty good. It was more the pass protection. North Texas got in there way too quickly. Mettenberger took a big pop in the first quarter, had to leave the game for a while, and I think that's why we saw those really short passes, because I don't think there was any confidence that the offensive line could pass block.
Yeah, that is true. That was kind of cause for concern. I hope that was just kind of maybe some communication breakdowns. I don't know really what to make of that, because how can you be so dominant in a run blocking scheme but have, you know, mental break, you know, getting out physical in pass protection. This is a veteran offensive line. I got to think they're going to work these kinks out. And if you want to find a silver lining in all of that, was Steven Rivers getting thrown into the mix way, way, way sooner than anybody expected. And honestly, all things considered, I mean, just kind of managed the time that he was in there pretty well. I mean, he didn't throw a ball a whole lot, but
looked real confident, stood in the pocket.
Yeah, he
wasn't asked to do a whole lot, but I remember when Jarrett Lee first came in as a freshman, when Andrew Hatch got hurt, he looked scared.
Right.
He looked like a guy who was clearly thrown in before he was ready. This looked like a guy who was like, okay, this is part of the plan. And also, Mettenberger was joking on the sideline, so everybody knew he was okay. So there was that level of comfort. But yeah, it was good to see Rivers come out there and, you know, keep the lights on. I think we can sum up Mettenberger's performance with his touchdown pass. That was a beautiful pass. He threw the ball into triple coverage, hit a receiver where no other defender could have gotten the ball. It was a beautiful pass, and it's everything that we've been wanting as LSU fans for 4 years, just that kind of touch. That said, it was a terrible decision because, first off, the receiver was triple coverage, and Jarvis Landry had beaten every defender and was behind the defense and was wide open for an easy pass for a touchdown. So, great pass, terrible decision. And I think that's – we could be seeing a lot of that this year, particularly early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, you know, something anxious to just kind of get out there and throw the football as much as whenever he's called upon to do so, get the ball down, I feel like. But, you know, and I got to think that as the weeks go on, of course, we, you know, basically, it was just, you know, a skeleton of what the offense really is, as far as what we're going to see as far as play calling as we go into the later weeks and we get into conference play and all that stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of like everybody was just really anxious to watch him play, and they come out as just short pass after short pass, dink and dunk, which is all fine and good. You can do that when you're getting 8 yards a pop running a football. So,
and also, those passes were getting 7-8 yards a pop. So it wasn't like it was a bad offense.
Yeah.
And it set up that Russell Shepard touchdown, which also got called back.
Exactly.
That was just a beautiful play. With all the defensive back, they kept coming closer and closer. And then a double move, threw it over the top. No safety help. Russell Shepard walked into the end zone. That was everything we had been wanting to see. A great play that was set up by good play calling and then a good decision. That, though there wasn't an offensive lineman downfield, which wiped it out, so there's your negative. But as far from a play calling, a quarterback play, that was really encouraging. I want to see a lot of that from Mettenberger. That was, even though it didn't count, that is actually a more encouraging play for me going forward than the touchdown, because that was everything that I had wanted to see from Mettenberger and everything we had heard about Mettenberger of what he could do.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no doubt that they're gonna continue to work in plays like that. I mean, I really was kind of hoping to see him air it out maybe a little bit more, and like you said, maybe that shot he took early in the first half kind of disparaged LSU, kind of disparaged the play calling a little bit. But I'd like to see him still in these coming weeks, I'll start to throw the ball more and more downfield, so that way when we get in the conference play, you know, teams are having to respect it a little bit more, not starting out the game 8-9 in the box. And that's something that's being brought up a lot this week, is the defensive coordinator at Washington was the coordinator at Tennessee last year and had a really good game plan early on. You remember that game against Tennessee was only 10-7 at halftime, and LSU kind of opened it up in the second half. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Washington does as far as you know, forcing us to run early, and can we get some plays downfield to kind of loosen that defense up a little bit. But you know, all in all, you know, one of those type games. We already said it. You know, it's North Texas. It's, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, you watch that game and you just, it's almost like watching a scrimmage or a spring game. There's really nothing you can really take out of it. It's kind of what you kind of expect. You know, you'd like to see LSU score a little bit more. You hate to see North Texas score 14 points. I really didn't think they'd even score 30. But, you know, kudos for them, because that play call today, that long touchdown, right play call at the right time. Eric Reed made a gamble and
lost
the receiver took it, and Lawson couldn't catch it, and then Lawson too. And
that was more disturbing than anything else, mainly because it was one thing if Mills or Collins got burnt because they're freshmen and we kind of expected to see some growing pains. But to see Reed and Lawson combine on a blown coverage for an 80-yard touchdown, that was a big concern going forward. That raises some real big red flags, because all of a sudden, Eric Reed is a guy that LSU needs to play almost perfect football. And I think he's capable of it. I think he's one of our best defensive players. But he cannot miss like that. He cannot make mistakes that set up 80-yard touchdown passes. He's the guy we're relying on.
If you're going to make the mistakes against North Texas early. That's absurd. You know, speaking of defense, you know, Jalen Mills got the start at the other cornerback, and they really did. They tested him a couple times early, and then after that, they didn't, because he held his ground pretty well the first few times they tried to pick on him, and that's kudos to him. And I mean, Eric Reed gave him a compliment by saying, I think, and I'm paraphrasing here, something to the effect of, you know, maybe this was the radio guy just saying it, I can't remember, but the less they call your name as a defensive back, unless you're picking off a pass and running in for a touchdown, the better. Which you didn't hear much of Jalen Mills at all Saturday night, just because it simply went thrown to his side. But Eric Reed was talking about him, I think, after the game, and talking about how during the course of the game, Jalen Mills would go up to him and say, "This is what's going on. Should not be doing this, not this," and just kind of, instead of asking Reed questions about what he should be doing, he was making suggestions on what he could do to, I guess, better improve, you know, his coverage skills or what have you. So, you know, that being said and all that, I think we played 12 true freshmen.
Yeah.
Also Saturday night, yeah.
Speaking of true freshmen, the one who really stood out was Debo Jones.
Right, yeah. His first play, any 7-yard loss.
This is going to be old-time LSU fan right here, but Debo Jones looks like this. That is Michael Brooks right there. That was just amazing. His first play in the backfield makes a huge tackle. Debo, as a freshman, already looks like a star. He could be the best linebacker that we've had, I don't know, since, you know, Marcus Spears. We have really not had a whole lot of top-notch linebackers at LSU, despite our great defenses. He's a star already.
Yeah, I think we'll be hitting a lot of good things from him.
I mean, I know it's just North Texas, but just the way he had an instinct for the football, first play, making big plays, coming in at middle linebacker. I could not be more excited about this guy. We've been starved for a star linebacker. It has been a long time
since has
had that. We normally rely on great defensive linemen and incredible cornerbacks, and the middle of defense has always been the soft part. And it would be a really nice change for the linebackers to step up and be the strength. And I really loved Kelvin Shepard. I thought he was a great player. He was a great leader. But Kelvin Shepard was not a great player. He was a really heady player. He was, you know, the kind of guy you want to have in your team. But, I mean, he wasn't an All-American kind of talent. And I know it's just North Texas, but Debo is the kind of guy who just popped off your screen. It was like, oh, my goodness, who is this guy?
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see him, you know, on TV. You know, I was in the stands for the first half. I was one of the ones that left at halftime. And after that, I just listened to it on the radio, and I wasn't able to DVR the game because with all the power outages, my cable wasn't back up until just Monday. So I'm really anxious to see him on a screen and see what he looked like. Now, Poza, you watching it on TV, this is one of the things that jumped out at me in the stands was the lack of pressure we were getting on the defensive line. Was it a lot of short drops?
Yeah, I'm not going to panic about that too much, mainly because last year North Texas, they played Alabama to open up. Alabama didn't get a sack on North Texas. It was by design. They took a lot of three-step drops, get the ball out real quick. Mm-hmm. They didn't wait for plays to develop. There just was no time to get pressure. But the thing is, there was nowhere to go, and they completely bottled up the run game. Even their 80-yard touchdown pass was an underneath route. It was, you know, drop back, right, throw it on a in the seam. Mm. I'm not too concerned about the defensive line. There still wasn't a whole lot of time. It wasn't like the quarterback was sitting back there with seconds to throw. It was get the snap, three steps, pop. And there's very few defensive linemen in the country who are going to get a sack with that. Mingo might be one of them, but it just didn't happen.
Right. And another thing that kind of jumped out to me, well, actually I didn't notice it that they started talking about it on the radio on Monday, was LeVar Edwards getting the start over Sam Montgomery on Saturday night. A lot of people speculate about Montgomery came in overweight, but they said he passed all the conditioning tests and everything like that. So I don't know if he did or said something and he's in the doghouse for a game or whatnot. But, I mean, he ended up did play a substantial amount, just didn't start. So.
Yeah, I think it's one of those LeVar is a senior. He's been in the program for a long time. Let's let him have a start to start off his senior year. I don't think it was anything more than that.
Really? So you're buying into that with Les Miles?
I'm actually believing that. I don't think that Sam Montgomery came up to him and said, please take my starting spot. I don't think that happened. I mean, I'm not going to go that far into the Kool-Aid, but I do think, you know, sometimes you just let the senior start. It's not a big deal. And it's not like he played that much. It was LeVar started the game, played the first series, and then rest of the game, Sam Montgomery was in the game. So
okay. Good enough. All right. Any other thoughts about the game at all, folks? I don't want to spend too much time
breaking pretty
down
much.
North Texas.
That's really all I can say about North Texas, for God's sake. it was a scrimmage, and it looked like a scrimmage. It was a rough game, but the game was never in doubt, and LSU tried a few things and then won the game handily.
Yeah,
and the one thing you really want to see is that the team just fix a lot of the rough edges. There was a lot of just mistakes. Two penalties took away touchdowns. There was a lot of pre-snap penalties, just stuff like that. And
yeah, that kind of bothered me a little bit. I thought there was a little bit too much of that. That kind of stuff needs to get corrected.
Say it was a short week of practice because of the hurricane, and I'm going to grade it on, you know, give them a wide latitude because of missing the Wednesday, Thursday practice. The effort wasn't there. After the first quarter, that team was disinterested. And hopefully they put out a more concerted effort against Washington. Washington's hoping we play as disinterested as we did against North Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'll happen 2 weeks in a row. It was kind of, it just kind of went into a shell. As soon as the Mettenberger hit happened, they just kind of, it kind of seemed like, I want to say, was it 21-0 at that point already?
Yeah, it was already 21-0.
Yeah, it just kind of went into a shell at that point. And I'm okay with that. I just hate to see him giving up long plays like that to a team like North Texas on defense, because, you know, a team for the last two seasons has been, you know, we've prided ourselves so much on defense. But, you know, if our offense continues to gel, if we continue to run the ball like that, like we did, and we get the passing game opened up a lot more, you know, it'll be all right for the defense to maybe give up 14, 17 points. We that's something we couldn't really do too much last season, even though we did end up scoring a lot of points because of our defense, but, you know, especially putting us in such good positions, in our good field position. So, that being said, on to Washington we go. And I think he's still with us. And on that note, we're going to welcome in our guest from Washington, Anthony Cassino.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
We are fine. We are anxious to play a BCS school after, you know, we got a BCS school sandwiched in North Texas and some Idaho and Towson and all this stuff before we get in the conference play. So finally looking forward to that return at home and home from a few years ago. So looking forward to welcoming Washington into Tiger Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, kind of been a long time. Kind of almost forgot it was a home and home.
Yeah, so we're still waiting on Arizona State to return that favor from us.
The game in Arizona State was a home game in 2005.
You're right.
I had tickets, and they didn't get refunded. So I'm keenly aware that that was counted as an LSU home game.
All right, so Anthony, fill us in a little bit on Washington. They played San Diego State Saturday night. I can't remember the score. Was it? It was 21-12, something on it. Okay. Yeah. Just kind of give us an idea of what Washington bring to the table this season. We know y'all have a pretty good quarterback. We know y'all lost a running back on Saturday night. So just kind of fill me and Poser in on the UW Huskies.
Well, it's kind of hard to say where they are right now because I don't know if we learned a whole lot from the first week game. They kind of jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and I don't know if they let the foot off the gas a little bit to kind of maybe save something for LSU, but they didn't really close out the game the way that we had hoped. But I mean, when you look at what their offense's done in the past, it doesn't seem like they've really ever had any trouble doing putting points on the board when they wanted to. Defensively, though, it looks to be a much improved team. They were, getting pressure on the ball, sacking the quarterback, creating turnovers, and just the bringing in Justin Wilcox looks like it's a move that's already paying dividends because. Last year I don't think they win that game against San Diego State playing defense like they did, but the defense, only gave up 12 points and it scored 7 of its own or put up a touchdown on its own. So really just kinda was able to carry the burden in a game that the offense wasn't its finest, which is what we're looking for, because it's kind of a team that under Don James and Jim Lambright back in the 90s was and the late 80s hung its hat on its defense, and that's what the fan base wants to see is a dominant Washington defense.
I was kind of curious just because Washington, even though I know your fan base is saying that you guys appreciate a good defense, Washington's known for always having a good quarterback. And is Price the latest in the line of successful Washington quarterbacks, or is he just a guy back there taking
he's the real deal. He does. I mean, maybe not from an NFL standpoint, but as a college quarterback, there aren't a whole lot better than him. He was hard on himself after the Week 1 game. He said it might have been the worst game of his career, but he completed over 70% of his passes, threw for over 200 yards, a touchdown, didn't turn the ball over. And if that's a bad game from a guy, then that's a big part of your offense. But he's just really, as Steve Sarkisian has moved from USC to Washington, more and more he's gone more from a traditional pro style to fit the strengths of a guy like Keith Price, where he's doing more spread out stuff and letting him run with the ball and make a lot of decisions. And Keith Price is great at that, and he can beat you with his arm. And last week it didn't really show up in the box score because he had a few runs that were called back on penalties. But if things break down, he'll run for a first down. He'll make the play however he needs to. And I mean, the best example was against Baylor when he scored 7 touchdowns, 4 in the air, 3 on the ground. He was fantastic. He outplayed the Heisman winner.
Yeah, that was actually the most entertaining football game I think I've ever seen. Well, not ever, but of the bowl season. That game was just such a track meet, and I remember that game and thinking, man, and I know Baylor has an okay defense, so it's just kind of like, wow, I can't believe Washington's putting up these kind of points, and then Baylor just kept responding. But you're saying you guys want to go away from games like that. You don't want to play, oh, whoever had the ball last wins. You want to win more games 21-12.
Well, I mean, you'd like to win them 40-0, but they don't all go that way. But yeah, if the defense can win some games, that would be nice. And they weren't always as bad as they were against Baylor. Like the opener last year, they had an interception to seal the deal on the last drive, and against Cal, they had a fourth down stand that ended up sealing that game as well. So they've been there, but it hasn't been where they've been able to shut a team down and win a low scoring game. It's been one play at the end or maybe a higher scoring game that they've made one play or a couple plays to win. And you can't win every week with that kind of a team. You got to have both sides of the ball.
Now, the Pac-12, I'm not trying to be insulting about the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 is known as more of a finesse league than the SEC. The SEC is more, you know, line up and, you know, smash them as hard as you can. Do you think Washington is equipped to play a team like LSU, which really is a ground-and-pound kind of offense, a really big offensive line that attacks a defense on the ground and just tries to hurt you? And then on the flip side, also our defensive line, which is just a, you know, bunch of big guys who come at you. Is Washington equipped to play that kind of a game? Because we know they can run. Washington is really good at that kind of thing. But are you, do you think you're a physical team?
Not enough to hang toe-to-toe with an LSU or an Alabama or that kind of school. Because when you look at Washington, the weakness on offense is the offensive line. There just hasn't been any consistency there for over a decade now. And last week, the starting right tackle fractured his forearm, and so he's going to be out for a while, and they're kind of mixing and matching, and that's a big question mark for them. They only ran for just over 100 yards. The starting running back only ran for Bishop Sankey. He went for only 3 yards a carry. And the guy who was kind of the 1A to Bishop's number one was Jesse Callier, and he tore his ACL in that first game. So the running game, to be able to go up against a dominant defense, it just isn't there. Not right now, anyway. And then on defense, the weakness again is the front seven. The back four are great. You couldn't really do a whole lot better. They're really one of the best groups in the Pac-12. I think they can probably play with just about anybody. But the front seven, San Diego State kind of ran over them. And if you're giving up 5 yards to carry to San Diego State and not the most athletic quarterback beat you on scrambles, it's probably going to be a long day if you're going up against a true ground and pound BCS team like LSU.
All right, so I kind of have a feel of how you're feeling a little bit about this game. Is that your primary concern going in on a Saturday night? Is that front seven holding up against LSU's strong running game.
Much running game on both sides of the ball. I don't see a Huskies really. I mean, if you're struggling moving the ball against San Diego State on the ground, how are you going to do it against LSU? And I have more faith in this year's defense in Justin Wilcox than in years past, where teams like Baylor and Stanford just could name their score without even really throwing the ball. But I don't think that they can really hold them to where they need to be forcing third downs and fourth and long and stuff like that.
Gotcha. And
Washington could win a game that is like a track meet where LSU's run game generates points, but then Washington responds with Price just airing it out. Is that the formula for success for a Washington upset?
It would probably have to be, and they were really good against San Diego State at getting sacks, and they forced, I think, 3 turnovers and return one fumble for a touchdown. If they can, you know, force a few turnovers, get lucky at that, and maybe, you know, get a big change off of one. But yeah, they're gonna have to. I mean, they're not gonna win scoring 21. They're gonna have to get into the end zone and use some of those receiving weapons that they've got in the passing game, and let Keith Price do his thing and try to win the game that way.
Yeah, it's kind of stole my thunder there. That's kind of what I was going with. I had that same question in my head. So now that Posey did that, I don't really know what to ask. I guess, well, going back to the running back situation, the guy that got hurt, is that he was not the starter? It was kind of him and Sankey were kind of splitting carries there, or was that?
Yeah, they've been Callier had been the backup to Chris Polk for the last couple of years and gotten the lion's share of the carries, but it looked like him and Bishop Sankey were right neck and neck in coming into the season. Bishop Sankey got a few carries to start the game, so it looked like he was going to be the number one. But So I don't think there was a whole lot separating them, but neither one was a big guy. So you don't, I mean, I think Sankey's only about 205. So if you're going to give him 20 to 25 carries every game, he's probably going to break down pretty quick. So they wanted, yeah. I think they wanted both of those guys to be healthy so they could, you know,
gotcha.
Split the load.
Are y'all pretty heavy at that position? Or y'all kind of have some depth issues there now with the loss of Connie?
No, now it's kind of dire straits because there's Sankey, and then the other guys who got carried were Eric Wilson, who was a true freshman, and then Lewis Wilson, who was a walk-on and got kicked off the team in the summer camp just a couple weeks ago, but got reinstated after a few days. So that's pretty much the depth chart, because another guy that they expected to be somewhat of a contributor also tore his ACL before the season. So, yeah, that's one of the thinnest positions of the team right now.
All right, so that being said, plus the couple of breakdowns that LSU had in pass coverage defensively on Saturday against North Texas, over under on the number of times Keith Price throws the football, 45.5?
I don't think it'll be that high because Steve Sarkisian, even when the running game's not – working too much, he likes to stay as balanced, just if nothing else, the team honest. But yeah, he threw 35 last week, probably 35 to 40 would be my guess in the LSU game, which isn't bad. You know, they've got a couple sophomores receiving options who are, you know, toe to toe with anybody in the country. And Austin Safarian Jenkins, he's for my money, he's the best tight end in the country. Last week he had 9 catches, and they didn't really go downfield to him too much, but, you know, they were just throwing it to him, lining him up at wide receiver, throwing it to him right off the snap, and there wasn't a whole lot that San Diego State could do to defend him. He's huge, and he's athletic. He's an NFL tight end playing at college, and then they also have Kaysen Williams at wideout, who's he was the Parade All-American Player of the Year coming out of high school, and he had, I think, 6 catches and a touchdown, and he's a load to bring down once he's got the ball. He makes guys miss. He runs over corners, and yeah, those two guys are as good a 1-2 punch as far as wide receiver tight end as anybody's got in the country. So they're going to need them to have bigger games than they did last week when they were pretty big as well.
All right. Carrie, this is a test. Can you hear me now?
Patrick is with us. Our third party mate of the Go Show is with us finally after 35 long minutes.
Oh,
Patrick
my Morris from God.
Patrick Morris from Ponchatoula. I know you have a wealth of questions for Mr. Casino from Washington, from uwdogpound.com.
Well, I haven't heard much of his conversation. I was really just letting him talk, but he sounded like he really knew what he was talking about. Especially
more so
with
than
tight
us.
End. The tight end I've been hearing a lot about, which I'm glad I heard that part of the conversation.
Yeah, that's kind of, he's really been real good at stopping tight ends in our past.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's not
in fact,
a cause
of concern
at all.
Didn't he want to go to LSU and some of the big dogs, but he chose Washington over like some of like us and I think 2 other schools?
Yeah, it was. I think it came down at the end. It was Texas and Washington, and Mack Brown wanted him as a left tackle, and Sark told him he could play tight end, so he stayed home.
And now he's splitting out as a wide receiver. So I think that's why Texas has been 7-6 the last 2 years.
Yeah, they like use him to match up wherever he can because he's uh-huh. so big and strong, and he played a lot of wide receiver in high school, so. You know, he's got those skills. He's just a nightmare to defend against.
I know Eric Reed's been talking about defending him all week, so I'm gonna be interested to see that.
He needs to step up his game.
Yeah, see, this is why I'm kind of nervous about Washington, just because while Washington's not a great team, they match up really well against LSU as far as our weaknesses. If you want to attack LSU, our secondary right now has a lot of questions in there. Got a great quarterback, great receivers. We traditionally had problems with tight ends. If you have a great tight end, it just gives LSU fits. Washington's got a great tight end. We're not good at running against teams that are in big scoring matches, if it's going to go over 30, both teams going over 30 points, that's not our style of game. That's the kind of game Washington wants to play. A lot of things about this make me nervous. I know LSU is a better team than Washington, but Washington just has a really good matchup advantage against LSU. If someone's going to pull an upset, it's going to be a team like Washington or Texas A&M that's going to pull this kind of upset.
I'm not ready to go that far. I mean, I think for all the big Zach Mettenberger fans out there that want to start seeing him throw the ball constantly downfield, I don't think you're going to see it that week. See it this week just for that reason that you're talking about, Posey, because I think you're going to see a strong dose of Kenny Hilliard and Alfred Blue again, given what Anthony's talked about with their front seven. And I just think that LSU is going to come out and exploit that and kind of control the game. And, you know, maybe Washington – I don't have a doubt in my mind. I think Washington can probably put up a couple of touchdowns, which is as much as they're probably going to throw the ball. And, you know, the coverage breakdowns that we had last week, but definitely, you know, I think we're at Ted again just in the second week of the season. I just think our pedigree in offense is – I don't think it's in the cards for Washington coming to Baton Rouge and hold LSU to, say, 21, 24 points and, you know.
No, I mean, I think a Washington win is unlikely, but it's definitely possible. I think they match up a lot better with us than, say, a Mississippi State, who every year people pick to knock us off as, you know, because, you know, they haven't done it in 20 years. I'm more afraid of actually finesse teams than a team that tries to out-physical us, because no one can out-physical LSU, not even Alabama, I don't think. But teams can, you know, out-finesse us. And that's how come a team that does try and do something different at least makes me a little bit nervous. Matchups tend to be more important than skills sometimes. And while LSU is likely to win, I think this is going to be a better game than definitely the odds makers think, which has it, I think, at 24 points right now, which I think is
right.
An insanely high spread.
Well, maybe not. I mean, look at the way I hate to say it, but our offense kind of was very – even though it was the first game, even though we weren't playing the most extreme opponent in the world, we were lackluster last week, for you know, to say the least. And you know now – I hate to say it, but Mettenberger's got a game under his belt. He kind of got that first – you want to say he wasn't nervous, but I say he was nervous coming out there for that first game. I see the improvement – you know, triple fold on the offensive side of the ball, and I see us scoring a ton of points in this game offensively. I'm not, you know, maybe the defense is going to go up against something different, but I think the offense, you're going to see the strides offensively that, you know, are going to be just night and day from last game.
So, Anthony, what do you see in this game?
I don't know. I don't really like Washington's chances too much. I think that LSU is probably going to win fairly comfortably. It might not be until, you know, the second half that they pull away, but I think eventually it's going to be a 3, maybe 4 score game.
All right, yeah, I'm thinking I'm on a fence. I'm kind of thinking 17, 21 points. I can also see this going the way with Patrick Starling. LSU just kind of comes out and shows an improvement from week one to week two, kind of unleashes the not to use a cliche, unleashes the beast. I don't want to say that. It sounds corny and stupid, but it comes out. It wouldn't surprise me if LSU won this game 31-14 or if they won 38-3. Neither one would surprise me, really.
I think both of those could happen. You have a lot of – I think what concerns me is just we have still so many freshmen we're now relying on, particularly in defense. So we're relying on Collins, Mills, Jones. I think they're all incredibly talented, but that's a lot of freshmen out there. And to be honest, one of our seniors lost it. I have no confidence in whatsoever. I don't think he's going to be a starter by week 12.
No, I think Micah Eugene is – I think eventually he's going to supplant Lawson back there. I think Lawson's just one of those guys that's never really panned out. He's just been kind of injury-riddled his whole career, and he came in with fairly decent expectations. And he's just one of those guys. Yeah.
Both Lawson and Shepard were five-star recruits, and both have been – neither one of them have been terrible players, but neither one of them have been five-star recruit level.
Right. That will pretty much wrap up the coverage of Washington. Anthony, you want to stay on with us? We're gonna kick things off. We wasn't on last week because of the hurricane, but people who have been listening to the midweek shows know it by now. We do the Anna Valley Show Go Show Pick'em contest. You go to the website, you find it there. podcast posted it, I think, earlier today or late yesterday. So if you go on the homepage and scroll down a couple of stories down, it's there. We have over 100 members join. We're giving away prizes each week for people who finish first in the standings for that week. There'll be prizes at the end of the season.
Prize will be a date with Podcat.
That's what I'm talking about. So I forgot to introduce him today, by the way. Triple P, the PFW pimp behind the scenes pushing buttons. And he talked about all kind of news and notes I was supposed to talk about. I didn't mention any of it. Chris Falk's out for this game, by the way, offensive tackle. So we could see Thoracic there or a couple other guys. We're pretty loaded offensive line. So there's a lot of plug and play people we can put in that position. So
too worried about offensive line depth.
So that's something we are, that's something we have a lot of people on. So I think we're good. But let's go ahead and go through this slate and pick these games real quick. We don't need real, Anthony, we would do this. There's 12 games to pick. We're going to just pick it real quick against the spread. We don't, no explanations. We don't need to go all that whole route because, due to time issues and all that stuff, just kind of wrap it up real quick. So we'll just go around the horn. I'll holler out the contest and I'll just go around the proverbial virtuoso round table here. So, the ever so popular early September matchup, Auburn at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is favored 3.5. Poser, I will start off with you.
I always think Auburn is overrated. Mississippi State to win, cover.
Patrick?
Well, I don't know. I kind of like Auburn in this. I don't know why. Don't ask me, but I like Auburn.
I got a sneaking suspicion Auburn's going to cover it. The struggles of Mississippi State against the SEC West schools not named Ole Miss will continue. Auburn always plays State tough. They beat them last year and actually jumped on them big early. Mississippi State kind of came back, but I'm not going to give descriptions, and here I am breaking down crap from last year. Anyway, give me Auburn to cover. I don't know if they win, but give me Auburn to cover. Anthony?
I like Auburn. I thought they looked better than I thought they'd be this season against Clemson last week, so I'll take Auburn.
All righty. Next, we got Air Force going to a very beatenly bad Michigan team at the hands of Alabama last week. They are in the Big House. 21.5 is the spread. Poser?
Air Force is not Alabama. I think Michigan rebounds and wins big.
Patrick?
Yeah, Michigan gets their running back this week. They got something to prove that they're not as bad as they are. Michigan does. They win real big.
Mr. Casino?
I think Air Force is going to take the air out of the ball enough to cover.
All right. I like Michigan to bounce back. So I'll take them to cover that 21.5 points. All right. Texas A&M's first game in the SEC. They are hosting Florida. And somebody from A&M who claims it wasn't somebody from the institution or the university put up a billboard in Gainesville. Can you some bulletin board material for Florida? Will Muschamp, you got something to prove. You gotta go to Kyle Field and win this game. But A&M 2.5-point favorites at Kyle Field. So Poser, what do you think?
First off, A&M should never trash talk anyone else about cheating. But Florida just has a dearth of playmakers. Watch that Bowling Green game, and they were lucky to get out of there alive. I think A&M's going to win because Florida's not very good.
Yeah, I'll have to say, true to my pick before the season started, I'm going to have faith in the Bill Parkinsons of the world, and I'm going to take Florida in this one just because I think A&M's about to get their awakening to the SEC.
You got to, because you picked Florida to win the SEC.
Exactly, and I'm sticking to my guns.
Okay, good for you. You should. I mean, they got to win this game. If they want to win the SEC, they got to go to A&M.
And if they don't, I'm changing my whole philosophy next week.
I got Tennessee, baby.
I'm kind of where Poser is on Florida. I don't think Will Muschamp's going to pan out as a head coach. I think he's too much of a fiery, crazy guy. So, I like A&M to hold true to 12th man. I like them to cover that. And Anthony?
I like Florida. I think the game they play, they'll have a chance to retool and play a little better against A&M than they did last week.
All righty. Moving right along real quickly. Always exciting. Iowa State at Iowa. Iowa 3.5 point favorites at home.
Both of these teams looked horrible last week. Just horrible. I'm just going to take Iowa to cover because they're at home, but just throw a dart at a board. That, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have no freaking clue in this one. Iowa's at home. That would be the reason why I'd pick them right there. And besides, I like their colors better than Iowa State's.
There you go. That's always the Patrick Morris reasoning.
Right there.
That grass is greener. I'm going with Iowa for the same reason. Posey is going with Iowa. I don't give a shit.
It's a Big Ten game.
Yeah, that too. And Anthony.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I don't like that game either. I definitely won't watch it, but I'll take Iowa.
Hey, good pick on that one, Podcast. Way to put that one on board.
No, that was a decision, but trust me, it was very scarce picking.
Yeah, week two is brutal.
Yeah, I might have picked always. Southern and Alcorn State or something over that. Sure.
Yeah, you thought that was bad. Here we go. Southern Cal, USC at Syracuse.
Oh, actually, yeah.
It's a neutral site game.
What are they playing?
I don't know. Podcast told me, but I don't remember. Anyway, Southern Cal is 20, is it 26.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, 26.5. I'll start this one off. That's a lot of points. Give me Syracuse to cover. MetLife Stadium they're playing at. That's where the game is being played tonight in the NFL. So.
Oh, joy.
All right. I want that's a lot of points. Give me Syracuse to cover. I don't think Southern Cal's defense is good enough.
There is nothing USC is better at than beating the snot out of really bad teams. So I think they'll cover. I think their problems will come later in the year when they actually have to play a team with a pulse.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're gonna cover this on the road at MetLife in New York or New Jersey, wherever you want to call it. So, yeah, easily, because they got something to prove, because they're number two this week.
That is true. And your home conference, Anthony, so.
Yeah, I think USC is going to cover. Lane Kiffin likes to cover, so he makes a point of trying to, even if he needs to go for two to get it, he'll try that. So I like USC.
All right, here's a good inter-conference matchup. Did I say that right? It'd be inter-conference, right? Wisconsin at Oregon. I don't even know if that's a word. Wisconsin at Oregon State. Wisconsin is favored by 7.5. Bozer, I'll let you lead.
You know, early in the year on my blog poll, I had Wisconsin top five in the preseason, and then they almost lost to Northern Iowa. I'm not totally jumping off the Wisconsin bandwagon. I think they'll win, but I'm going to take those points for Oregon State. So I think it'll be close.
Kind of varying styles here between the that team in the pack and then the Big Ten right there. But I'm going to have to say, with Wisconsin going out west, playing, I'm sure they play in early or they play in late. That's going to make my decision.
4 o'clock.
4 p.m.
Oh, well, then, hell, that's a Big Ten type of setup. I'm going with Wisconsin then.
Good enough. I like Wisconsin to cover that. Anthony?
Yeah, Oregon State's got a lot of questions on both lines and not a lot of playmakers. I like Wisconsin big.
All right. Nobody on Skype tonight, nor anybody that listens to the show, is going to care what our UTEP versus Ole Miss pick's going to be, so I'm skipping over that one.
Are you crazy? This is my chance to pick UTEP. Did you see the Oklahoma game?
Hey. We're giving the Pac-12 some love on a pick 'em this week. Nebraska, another Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. Nebraska at UCLA. Nebraska favored by 4.5. Posey?
As a rule of thumb, never bet on UCLA. So Nebraska.
Patrick.
Yeah, I gotta go with Nebraska here too.
Yeah, me too. I like Nebraska to cover that. And Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. Nebraska looked really good last week.
Hey, you know what they should do? They should just do like like they do in basketball, do the Big Ten, Pac-12, 14 challenge, and they should do like the SEC/ challenge. That way you have to play somebody from a major conference outside of your thing every year.
They were talking about doing an SEC Big 12 challenge.
Which would be pretty cool.
The Pac-10 and the Big Ten were like about a year away from that, and then the Pac-12 backed out because of they already played the 9-game conference schedule, and they didn't want to play basically a 10-game conference schedule.
I could see that from their point of view, you know, do an ACC Big East challenge.
Yeah, yeah, in the battle of no one cares. But I would love ACC Big 12. Let's, you know, let's play Texas every year. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, all right, the SEC game of the week. Cannot wait to see the outcome of this one. We've had a lot of talk amongst our Go Show cohorts about this game in previous shows and our season preview. Georgia at Missouri, favored by 3.5. Sheldon Richardson, I think he's a defensive tackle from Missouri, watched the game film and said Georgia is like watching a Big Ten team. Missouri, who can't even compete in the Big 12, comes to the SEC and they're talking shit already. Dude, on the podcast, I know you said Missouri's going to be amped for this game, and I have no doubt they will be. But I think Georgia's going to – I'm leading off. I think Georgia's going to come in and lay the wood to Missouri like nobody's business. I like them to cover. I like them to win.
I'm kind of with you. I'm not really a big fan of bulletin board material being the deciding factor because people tend to be up for any opening conference game. But Missouri has been running their mouths a lot. Not nearly as much as Texas A&M. Texas A&M's kind of coming in there saying, oh, well, we're going to take our lumps, but we'll be good long term. Missouri's come out there and say, we're going to win the SEC East. They have been talking shit nonstop. Georgia's the defending SEC East champion. I think it's a matter of pride. I think Georgia's going to go out there, and I think you're right. I think they're going to beat them badly.
God, this is scary because I'm in agreement with y'all. I think, like you said, the wood gets laid down on Missouri like no tomorrow. I think they're going to come out of this thing apologizing to people.
And as an outsider, Anthony, what do you think about this?
I'm right there with you guys. I think Missouri is a good team, but man, I don't think they can hang with Georgia. I think Georgia just smacks them.
All right, good enough. And again, because of time, we're skipping over LaTeX and Houston and Vandy and Northwestern. You can pick that on your own time. You know, we don't need to discuss it amongst ourselves. And lastly, Washington at LSU, 23.5-point favorite. So, Poser.
I think Washington's going to score points. I'm not completely sold on LSU's defense right now. I think we will be great by the end of the year, but we're not there yet. This is the exact kind of team that's going to score points on. It's going to test the secondary. I think Washington's probably going to clear 20 points, but I do think LSU's ground and pound game is going to eventually win out. I think the score will be around like 34-21, but LSU will win, but I don't think they're going to cover.
Patrick?
I'm going to go with what I said earlier. I just have that sneaky suspicion that we're going to see the offense make leaps and bounds. The defense may give up, you know, two scores or so, but I think the offense is going to score that much more. So I do like the cover on this. So I'll take LSU and give the points away.
All right. And, Anthony, I kind of got a feeling on which way you were leaning. Are you still kind of, you think 3-4 score game still? Are you going to? You're gonna step up like most opposing team fans do and pick your team. Come on, pick your team. Come on.
I think LSU's gonna cover.
Yeah.
I was trying to goad him.
Coasters are laid back. They don't get goaded too.
Yeah, they don't care. They, you know.
That's right.
They're just gonna California and all that.
Just, you know.
You know,
as long as it serves up. Oh. What a stereotypical comment. He's not even in the Southern West Coast. He's in the Northern West Coast.
Well, that's a good thing.
I do not know which way to go on this. I kind of see Poser's angle, and I kind of see Patrick's angle. I'm just kind of, you know, I just don't know. This might be one of those years where LSU doesn't cover those big spreads. That's the way last year we did. Kind of go back and forth on stuff like this every year. But, you know, there's too much LSU in me, kind of like there's too much Batman, Harvey Updike. That's why he poisoned too much corn trees. I like LSU somewhere in the neighborhood of 38-14, which would be a hair by the ass cover. 24 points. So that's the way I see it playing out. So that will wrap up the picks. That will wrap up the show. Our thanks to Anthony Cassino of it was uwdogpound.com. Anthony, is that correct?
That is correct. DAWG pound.
And y'all are part of SB Nation as well, correct?
Yes, we are.
All right, excellent. Yeah. So, Just want to be sure that I don't want to give any. I don't want to falsify information on a show because if we live and die with our factual base.
Then you'd be a politician.
That's right. We have a team of fact checkers. A team.
Yes, we do. Behind the scenes, right now, eating Cheetos on their laptops, making sure we're getting all the facts right for you people, for you. So, we are done for the night. We will see y'all on Saturday. We are
live.
We're going to be back streaming live again. We wasn't there last Saturday because.
Somebody's in trouble.
Other things, all kinds of things. So we will be back. New location this year. If anybody wants to come and visit us, we are 200 yards away from our old spot. We are on Tower Drive now in front of Coates Hall. Look for the banner that says Team Cat Tailgating. We are right next to our friends in tailgating, TDT, Tower Drive Tailgaters. Look for us there roughly between an 8:30 a.m. start. There's really no lockdown set time on that, so just – go to the website in the morning, and podcast usually has a streaming video up at that point, kind of in the morning. And you know, as soon as you, and as the show's going on, as soon as you click on the site, the show's going to automatically pop up. So, I guess the webcam's going to be up and running again this year. So, looking forward to that. I cannot wait to get you back on the parade grounds. Oh no, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I can't say parade grounds. And thanks, Patrick, for making that executive decision without me.
Decision made.
I can't say parade grounds, so I can't wait to be back on campus on Tower Drive in front of Coates Hall, streaming live once again. We have a whole new audience to branch out to, Patrick. This is the good thing about moving tailgate spots. You know,
the benefits outweigh the negatives.
I think so. And if we ever want to go back to our old tailgating spot, I checked it out last week. Nobody was there.
Yeah, we'll just take over it again anyway.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we ought to just set tents up in both locations.
Two of them.
Exactly.
With a big
That's what we need to do. Anthony, you're not making a trip to Baton Rouge, are you?
No, I don't know. Not making it this year.
Okay. Good enough. All right, well, with that being said, we are finished. This has been the Go Show in partnership with AnnaValleyShip.com. We will see you all on Saturday. As always, go Tigers. Good night.